Hello and welcome to the VLP podcast. I'm Jill Brink. I'll be your host today. Today's podcast is a showcasing of our September Poetry Slam, which featured politically themed poems. Without further ado, let's get started. The first two pieces are by Norma Wilson, who was our featured guest this month.
I'm going to start out with Ballad for Karen Silkwood. This song's about a worker's destiny. She fought for the union at Kerr McGee. Karen Silkwood was a fighter, not a quitter, till a car came up from behind and hit her. Knocked her off the road. She died. Her documents all disappeared. The cover-up was, let's get control of our energy and kick out the likes of Kerr and McGee. Karen Silkwood was a fighter, not a quitter, till a car came up from behind and hit her. Knocked her off the road. She died. We'll remember Karen's courage and the way she died, and the Navajo miners who lost their lives. When uranium or plutonium fill the air, cancer starts and the owners don't care. When 18 men died on the reservation, Bill Phillips was the spokesman for the corporation. He said, "I couldn't possibly tell you." And if he could, that's what he wouldn't do. What happened at some small mine on an Indian reservation? The Navajos must get the right to self-determination. We have interests all over the Western world. Their interests are in dollars, their lives absurd. Karen Silkwood said it, and her point was big. I feel like someone's using me for a guinea pig. This song's about a worker's destiny. She fought for the union at Kerr McGee. Karen Silkwood was a fighter, not a quitter, till a car came up from behind and hit her. Knocked her off the road. She died. Her documents all disappeared. The cover-up was really weird. Let's get control of our energy and kick out the likes of Kerr and McGee. Karen Silkwood was a fighter, not a quitter, till a car came up from behind and hit her. Knocked her off the road. She died. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Here's a poem from Chiapas. Before the rebellion. The bus line is Cristobal Colon. We ride south to Comitan, past corn 20 feet tall on mountain slopes above the Rio Grijalva. Past sunflowers and banana trees, past men making bricks of clay, past women at their backstrap looms, weaving reds and golds and blues, past embroidered shawls and serapes, the fashion in these mountains, where to live in beauty is a form of resistance.
This next poem is by Randall. It's on his take of the human factor in war.
Great minds were our founding fathers and brothers. Join the elite of the world's governments. Power and riches and prosperity. We have formed the greatest civilization. Freedom, diversity, freedom, unity, freedom. But with greatness comes great sacrifice. The cost of which is the cost which is shh. The cost which is shh. 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 Oh, train coming down the track. This train ain't slowing. This train is gaining speed. This train is greatness. This I'll guarantee. This train is heading to the end of our justified means. It's sacrifice. Human lives. It's cost. Human lives. Human lives are a renewable resource. Crash! Boom! Communism equals war! Capitalism equals war! Egalitarianism equals war! This is our sacrifice. This is our means. This is our unequivocal end. War is the opposite of peace. Peace is the opposite of war. War for peace! War for peace! Heinous excuse for murder. Peace comes from in here. Peace comes from inside. Government is a corrupted peace, which is no peace at all. Human lives are a renewable resource. Human lives are being lost. Human lives are what a government cost.
This next poem, despite being executed very well, unfortunately took last in the first round, foregoing roughly 3 minutes over time. It's by Jerry, and it's on his take of the Bush administration.
This is called The Last Will and Testament of W. the Man. It might be your blood, boys and girls, but the oil is mine, all mine. My daddy willed it to me along with the head honcho job. It was oily money that greased my path to power, and daddy's friends must be repaid. Saddam thought it was his oil. Big mistake. He's not even from Texas, you know. What does he know about oil or power or how to turn the screws or about executions for that matter? He's a novice at the game we Texans have mastered, and I won't allow some two-bit dictator to kill more on my watch. The game is up, I said, to the axis of Snivel in Germany and Belgium and France. You wimps of the world, get out of my way. I had a war to wage, like Big Brother said in 1984. Freedom is slavery, boys. Ignorance is strength, and war is peace. If only I could get those pansified peaceniks off my back, blabbering of environmental ruin and SUVs, tax cuts for the rich, and skyrocketing debt for their kids to pay, muttering about dead Iraqi women and kids and medicine and foods and the poor can't pay. Stand back, you punks. Make room for a man. I'm a man, oil man, a real man I am. Want to see me flex my biceps? Oh, Poppy, you got to be proud. W. Jr.'s driving them camel jocks to the grave, Daddy B., and bringing home the oil just like the old man. Osama bin Laden? I said I'd get him, and you bet I will. You've tweaked the wrong guy's nose, Ben. You're a dead man, Ossie. We'll get you, we will, Rumsfeld and Cheney and Strangelove and Condi. We'll make the world safer, demagoguery, or whatever that word I slept through in civics was. Speaking of civics, get off my case about peace in the Middle East and the nonsense babbling of diplomats and popes and United Natarian nincompoops. Sure, I dodged the draft in Vietnam. What rich kid didn't do the same? So now I've got a job to do so the world will know that I'm a man. So look out, Osama bin Saddam Hussein. I'm coming to burn your lunch. I'll break your toys over my knee and stuff your non-existent missiles up your gaping yazoo. I'll send a few good men, old Sammy, and a woman or two to show how advanced civilizations treat their girls. Myself, I'll be behind the desk, of course, as Dylan said, and the teleprompter and the TV lights. We'll blast you from the stars, Osadami, but somebody's got to stay behind and call the shots and pick off any stray politician that sticks up his head and blabbers about the Constitution and of my rights. Forget the drivel about torture and fair trials, because I know a terrorist when I see one. No evidence required. And don't worry about the Democrats for the spine you could pass your hand through, as Thoreau said. And I'm not the devil, as Hugo Chavez said. It's not true. I'm the devil's son. So clear out the riffraff and call in the chicken hawks, because we got a job to do. And Korea and Iran, get ready, you're next to fall. And maybe I wasn't elected, but I was appointed fair and square, and I got a job to do, because down in Texas, the oil is running low. It would have been tough without 9-1-1. That gave us hope. It opened up the game, and who gives a damn that Saddam didn't even play? The polls were on my side, boys, and I had them snowed. Except for them snooty Europeans and slant-eyed Asiatics and brown-skinned whatever you call them below the Rio Grande. For as Teddy Roosevelt said when he headed south with a big stick on his shoulder 100 years back, if I don't do it, somebody else will dominate the earth, and that on my watch I will not allow. Not no Islamatic terrorists who don't even talk Texan and couldn't strike a Holocaust if their death depended on it. So bring on the terrorists, the more the merrier, I say. If violence begets violence, I'll slay them all. I'll go down in history a man, oh man, no slacker like my old man. Oh no, a real man I am, one of 300 years with the balls to set the world on fire. And if that's what it takes, I'm man enough to watch from behind the teleprompter, of course, while the young people's blood runs out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. And I'm not squeamish about old women and kids, my friends, or mothers with babies at their breasts. And the game will soon be up, and some in his sad land will be history and smoke, and a real man will straddle the earth, the weapons of mass destruction held high in both fists, and the game will be over with plenty of oil and nobody left to ask if it's mine, all mine.
This next poem comes from Linda, who won this poetry slam. She was inspired by photographs of Iraqi children who were horribly disfigured during the war.
Okay, Post-Utopia Syndrome, Part 2. It is not enough that you've made doom palpitate loud, but that you've made us groan accustomed to the sound. It is not enough that the children are being trained like armies for Jesus in a future showdown with Allah, but that they look forward to dying for this fairy tale. Yet these bombs and wires are not soccer balls and jumping ropes. And when you see limbs bounce and jump up into the sky and tendons hanging by thin strings make you wonder how strange the body can look, how it can be made into an unexplainable thing, the only philosophy I see you practice is nihilism. It is not enough that you believe in punishment and original sin, but that you've created a veritable hell for the rest of us so you can have a preview of your self-fulfilled apocalypse. It is not enough that you steal from the poor, but that your words are bad acrobats that magically bounce off the floor. It is not enough that you kill and lie, but that you pronounce yourself gatekeeper and you face the cameras eye to eye. It is not enough that you've killed all hopes for utopia, but that we'll have to clean up the vomit spill while you feast on the spoils without even twitching at the sight of the many corpses who were once made to believe that leaders were like fathers, holding your interest at heart. It is not enough that you've shed all over democracy, but you dress her up like a cheap whore and try to pass her off as a lady versed in diplomacy and infinite political arts. And whoever pays you the minimum is allowed to rape her and make her crawl back to the chains you've designed for her. It is not enough that you're making life a circus, a nightmare, a rot sod spectacle, but that you're forcing us to watch it with the rest of the world and making your monkeys and clowns attack us if we don't applaud after every mad act. It is not enough for us to complain, but the only other choice is revolution, and we want to live, because we know there are no bonus features after the final score.
This next poem is one I found particularly moving, especially having family over in Iraq. It was submitted by Lindy.
This is called, "This Poem Snuck Into the U.S., but is Willing to Do the Work Other Poems Will Not." That's the only thing good about it, is the title. Sitting in this very coffee shop 3 weeks ago, listening to Tommy James and sipping Temple of Heaven, and it sounds divine, doesn't it? It sounds like the world is perfect and lovely and ready to dance. Yet I don't know which way is up, because I just finished reading 8 obituaries of 8 serious young men, men who liked football and hunting and PlayStation and their girlfriends, men who never thought that in some coffee shop in South Dakota, a woman would be looking at their pictures, and then later, mention them at home while trying not to cry. And now we want to build the wall. If you can promise that this wall will keep my brother here and will make certain that every soldier comes home on 2 good feet, swinging 2 strong arms and good hearing and 20/20 eyesight and no nightmares, then please let us build this wall. If on this wall we can hang orange and purple paintings and welcome mats at the foot of this wall and surprise banners and construction paper chain links, the homemade ones, kids can use this wall as a goal for soccer or a backstop for baseball. And there are huge bare windows with mothers leaving apple pies to cool. And there are rope ladders like a fort thrown down on both sides and secret passageways and revolving doors within this wall. And big stadium lights that shine down so the wall will never look dark or cold or angry. And flower boxes hang from this wall, filled with geraniums and marigolds, and maybe a nice little herb garden with cilantro, dill, mint. And the masses of people who would come to this wall and walk through it, they would find sturdy shoes and healthcare and schools and milk and red, red apples. And spray painted in huge letters in the red, white, and blue of our country, some write, "Please, please, please come in. We have so much land and so much money, and you are my family." And okay, I understand this will never happen, and it's hopeful and sentimental and ridiculous and some bleeding heart rhetoric. But I'm afraid if I write what I really think about this country, I'll have to leave tonight.
We've got one more poem for you before you go. It was submitted by Tony, who took second place in this month's slam.
A call to apathy. Allow me to explain myself. Love takes action, but war is hell. The Straussians in D.C. spend their time smuggling lies over every borderline. You are outraged, and I agree. Satan is buying souls for free. So you picket, and then you rail. You rally down the campaign trail. I'd rather be struck by the beauty of this place and spend all my energy chasing after grace. But you've got just cause, and you think that I'm lazy for choosing the charms of the kiss and the daisy. There is a bold line between sloth and peace. Contentment takes a bit of elbow grease. Retribution comes to every kamikaze. Imagine if every terrorist thought like me. But fear, like anger, is tricky to diffuse when politicians are pimping out your muse. I'll appreciate the blueprint of our system without rolling over for nationalism. It would be nice to have a leader you'd like to have over for dinner, but the fossil fuels are running dry and the forests are getting thinner. The chances of justice reaching all seem fragile and remote when 4 years of analysis are distilled down to one vote. None of this is reason enough to shrug and throw up your hands. The principle of love remains whether it sleeps, sits, or stands. I've witnessed your passion, understood all your gripes, but I'd rather we had apathy stuffed into our pipes. Apathy is despised by those who fight the good fight, but apathy leaves more time for moments of delight. Where's ambition gotten you at night when you rest your head? Will your cause be on your mind the moment before you're dead? I'm not saying that you should stop your raging at the man. I'm just advocating a less reactionary plan. Kill them all with kindness and try to go out with a smile. A soldier of indifference need not be in denial. Thank you.
That will do it for today's podcast. If you'd like to attend a poetry slam, we have one coming up at the end of October. It's going to be October 26th, that's a Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Coffee Shop Gallery in downtown Vermilion. If you just want to come and watch, that's absolutely fine, but we always encourage people to come up with a couple of poems and perform themselves. If you have any questions about today's podcast, go ahead and email me at jsbrink@usd.edu. Or if you just want to learn more about the Vermilion Literary Project, go ahead and visit our website at www.usd.edu/orgs/project. That's it for this podcast. I'm Jill Brink, and you all have a wonderful week.